Hello and welcome to Brain Trust Live number 88.
This week on the podcast, the Affordable Care Act website is now working. Nothing more to see here.
Black Friday gets more deadly by the year and now has its own official death count tracker.
And the U.S. reaches a deal to reach another deal in 6 months with Iran over its nuclear program.
Obamacare is not the only problem fast food CEOs will face this week.
And as far as Congress goes, it turns out the government shutdown wasn't much of a change from business as usual.
Thanksgiving becomes a popular time to come out of the closet.
Plus, soon drones will no longer only be for killing innocent civilians. They'll deliver your toothpaste too.
Stay tuned for all this and more.
This is Brain Trust Live. Hey guys, I'm Brent.
I'm Lila, and we're back!
We're back, our triumphant return.
We made it! We've been on the internet this whole time. Mm-hmm. You can still find us there. We're
still there.
www.braintrustlive.com, as we've been this whole time.
Yep, didn't leave.
We sort of snuck a little posting on our Tumblr page.
Yes.
And then never talked about it.
That's right.
Just acted like it didn't happen.
Right, which was dumb because it was timely.
It was timely and now it's not, but you could read it if you wanted to. We wrote a hilarious slash... I mean, I don't want to say hilarious because it's about an assassination.
It's about death.
but it was about President Garfield, who, right. If you had to pick one of the funnier assassinations,
right.
That
and
would be it.
We figured that in honor of JFK's assassination, we would write about somebody else's.
Exactly. Another president.
Everybody else had the JFK assassination on lockdown.
Seriously.
Like,
people who I was not aware were experts and were not alive at the time.
I had a whole dinner conversation with it when I had the vegans over.
Oh, I bet.
Because one of them previously worked for Reels Channel, and he produced a show because Reels Channel was all over it. They had documentaries. They had after the documentary, follow-up documentary. I mean, they had all sorts of everything going on. So, like, there was a whole... We learned all of the stories about that.
Well, I learned more about it than I could have ever needed to know.
But it's not... Here's what you may not know, is that it's not quite as... It's certainly not as hilarious of an assassination as the Garfield one.
No. And it's not as good a read. It doesn't matter where you're reading it.
No.
It doesn't matter how conspiracy theory the reading that you're doing gets.
Yeah. So you should read that. It's on our Tumblr page.
Yeah.
But anyway. But Lila's back. She's been in Argentina.
I'm back. I've been in Argentina.
Yep. So we took a little Thanksgiving respite.
Right.
Thanksgiving, Hanukkah.
Thank God, because there wasn't much news. So we didn't really miss anything.
No.
We just... skipped what was a boring period in American newsmaking
history. It's like the news knew that we were going
to
be gone.
Yeah, they just decided to quit it. Give up.
Stop down. Yep.
But now there's some new non-news news. We're leading with what is media
probably
news.
Not. Yeah, exactly. But basically, as Lila and I discussed a while ago, when the White House said that the website was going to, when the healthcare.gov website was going to be fixed by the end of November, we were like, well, if that's the case, then it'll be fixed.
Everything we've been discussing is irrelevant.
Because once it's fixed, Then it's fixed.
It's over
and then
at
it
that
works.
Point.
Then everything works.
Yeah.
That's how fixing things works.
Correct.
And that's what happened.
It's over now.
It's done.
So we never have to talk about this again, hopefully.
We're going a little overboard with this, but like it's basically working. It can now handle 50,000 concurrent users, which is like twice as many as it could. It can handle up to 800,000 consumer visits a day, which was like two times, those were two goals that they had that they were like trying to meet, which they did.
Which they were trying to meet back at the launch 2 months ago.
Yeah,
and here we are 2 months later and we're finally there.
Yeah. So basically all of the goals that they set for themselves at the launch, they are now at. Granted, that's post-launch. We're post-launch.
2 months post-launch.
Which is the problem.
We're there,
But
and here's where we're also 1 month pre-cutoff.
Yeah, exactly.
Not even, I mean, the cutoff is, month, is 4 months.
Like right, exactly.
But by
23rd, you can now still get insurance and, like, have it on January 1st.
Exactly.
Without issue. And it's also going much faster. Like, the response time is down from, like, 8 seconds to under 1 second.
Right.
And apparently over 100,000 people signed up last month, which was four times the amount of people that signed up in October.
Once your website works, and that the website wasn't even fully
working
at that point.
It wasn't even fully working while people were doing that. Yeah.
People were talking about it, so people remembered.
Yeah.
And that... this actually may have turned out to be great PR for the Affordable Care Act program, because no one's really talking about the exchanges back when they launched, because we were talking about how the government was shutting down.
That's true.
So now we can all remember to sign up.
Yes. Yeah, it's true.
We have a new thing that me and Brent were talking about today that I feel like we should be pushing in California.
Yes.
We want dental and vision
Because
as
I,
separate packages that
well,
you
Well, let me tell you how I even thought about that, because I have had not had dental or vision for so long that I sort of, like, wasn't even thinking about it. So I went today, when I was reading the story about healthcare.gov, I went to healthcare.gov. And the first thing it asks you is it says, do you want, are you here for yourself? Are you here for a company or whatever? And, like, you go through, like, one of the first three questions that they ask you is whether you want health insurance or dental and vision insurance. Then you have to click on what state you're from. And so I'm in California. It redirects me to cover California, which it does not. And it goes to the frequently asked questions section.
Right.
And it says they're considering adding dental and vision.
Just do it.
Do it. I'll take it. I'll sign up for it. I'll pay for it. I've been not paying it forever. I've been going to get dental work from, like, sketchy Russian dentists, yeah. like, where I, from Groupon.
Yeah.
That's what I've been doing for my dental insurance. Groupon is my dental insurance.
Oh, my God.
Right now.
By the way, speaking of health insurance, my friend who I was visiting in Argentina was telling me about her insurance plan there. And it's obviously significantly cheaper than what we pay, and she gets full coverage for, you know, like, $90 a month or something like that. But she was like, if I paid $250 a month, which in Argentina, understandably, would be, like, quite expensive,
sure.
but not really comparably more than people are paying in a lot of more expensive states like New York.
Yeah.
You would get a free plastic surgery every year.
Oh.
South America, friends. They love their plastic surgery.
I like that.
But isn't that crazy? You can buy insurance for plastic surgery.
That's crazy.
You can't buy insurance for your fucking glasses here.
No.
But South America, $250 a month buys you a free plastic surgery.
Yeah. But even today, the White House said that they had like 375,000 visitors, like, by midday today, basically, which was, like, the first day post them announcing that, like, it was working.
Well, it's just in time for the last minute rush that was always going to be when people signed up.
Exactly.
So we're there.
Yeah. So now the only issues, and these are certainly issues that need to be figured out. Once people are signing up, there's some back-end issues where the information that the insurance companies are getting about the people who are signing up aren't always right.
Yeah, it's not...
So that's not totally what you want.
Once you've signed up, it's not clear what happens to your information.
Once you've signed up, the insurance companies then may or may not know who you are.
Right, where
you are. Or what plan you have signed up for. Exactly. So but, that's an issue. But at least you can know that you've signed up for something.
You've done it. You're not going to get penalized because you've signed up. And one assumes that once your information has been submitted, they can sort of work out those details before January.
Yeah, sure.
You know?
Yeah.
You have more time on that end. You signed up early. Sign up early, guys. Don't wait, because obviously we're not clear how long it's going to take to actually get the plan that you signed up for.
Well, I'm surprised. Like, I mean, I'm surprised that, like, just they announced this today and, like, 375,000 people, like we said, like, that's a lot of
people are interested.
People are interested in this. And that's what we've always said, because even the amount of people that were sort of, like, you know, crashing the system when it first launched was obviously like, well, I mean, hello. Like, there's obviously a want and a need for this.
Yeah.
So we're just sort of, like, proving that even further here, I think.
Exactly. And I mean, I think that it majorly detracted from interest when people thought it was going to be a hassle.
Right.
But now that we're sort of, like, claiming it's not a hassle and the website's working and everything's fine, like, even if you're only vaguely interested in getting insurance, like, why wouldn't you check
it out? Well, and that's what I have sort of said, like, about this. You know, I was talking to somebody, you know, a coworker of mine who's a Republican, and he was sort of, like, you know, very gloom and doom about this. And I was like, now that we have sort of, like, decided that people can keep their shit plans if they want to, which I don't necessarily agree with, but we're there. We decided it. And if the website starts working, it's sort of like, well, then there's nothing else to hang on to, I guess. You know, there may be the sort of, like, few people here and there whose, like, rates go up or whatever, and those people are going to probably be mad, but they're also probably going to realize that they're probably getting a better product. And, you know, but, I mean, now, like, what do you complain about
now? Exactly. Well, and I think there was an article, and I think it was New York Magazine today, that was basically, like, the fight to end Obamacare is over now. Like, there's not anywhere to move forward with it.
No.
You can't repeal it at this point. It's in, you know, like, once you're repealing it now, you're having to replace it with something.
Right.
Which
well,
is
you're,
what,
now you're kicking people off plans, which is what they've been pissed off about
and,
anyway.
And the point that we really needed to get to end all of this, was a point where in order to end it, you had to fix it instead of ending it by just ending it.
Right.
Before it went into effect, they could just end it and be like, now it's never going to happen. But once it's in effect and people are reliant on those plans, they're going to have to figure out what to do with those people.
Right.
They can't just kick them off.
And I think that everybody, even Democrats, like even Obama himself, has always said that we're going to have to fix this as we go. It's a giant government program. I mean, like, it's not going to,
and
like, run perfectly.
And it's a program invented by Republicans to benefit private industry. Like, it's going to be a shit show,
yeah,
obviously.
Exactly. Yeah.
So obviously we're going to have to fix it as we go, because there's going to be issues with it being written in a way that primarily benefits business.
Right.
And forgets about people from time to time. But at least we're doing something. We're moving forward with a plan of some sort. And now the GOP, in order to get rid of this plan, has to come up with their own plan. And since this is their plan, it's going to be very difficult for them to figure out something else.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's good news.
Yeah.
What was less good news was just like any news that came out of Thanksgiving this year.
I know, right? Black Friday is always sort of like a real, you know, situation.
Situation.
But it was less of one this year, but like this year, my favorite story from Thanksgiving this year.
This was from
the Macy's Parade.
The Macy's Parade, there was a big uproar.
Huge uproar. Kinky Boots uproar.
Kinky Boots uproar.
Conservatives were just all up in arms that there was a drag queen
Kinky
on
Kinky Boots performance that involved a drag queen.
Now, that's what that show is.
Yeah.
There's a drag queen on that show.
It's a show called Kinky Boots that stars a drag queen, basically. Like, if you've seen the movie,
yeah,
then you know the part that drag queens are playing,
right,
in that plot.
But conservatives were not having it.
No, they didn't. Didn't want to have to tell their children about drag queens over Thanksgiving.
Nope.
Here's a point that I had made, which is that as a child, I already knew of the existence of drag queens long before anyone was going to have to explain them to me at the Thanksgiving Day parade.
Well, you were walking, like, down the street with them.
Yeah, that's a thing that was happening.
People in Des Moines
aren't.
But here's
my point. Once they were explained to me, as a kid, you're very accepting. So I was like, oh, all right.
Yeah, that's
moved
true.
On with my life. It's the same when they, you know those movies where they talk to kids about gay marriage and the kids are like, well, I don't see what the big deal is.
Right.
And it's like only when they get older that they
same thing with racism. Like, you know, you
yeah,
see
they
these
don't understand,
you know,
why
5-year-olds who don't understand
there was
why,
that,
yeah.
The same people that made the video about gay marriage made the video about that biracial Cheerios commercial.
Yeah.
And the kids were like, what? They seem like a happy family. Oh, it's funny that the father is funny and the mom, you know, the daughter is so hilarious.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with drag queens. Once they've been explained to your kid doesn't really have further questions. They're like, oh, okay.
Right.
It's fine. So that solves that problem right there.
Yeah.
Now you'll never have to explain them again.
Thanksgiving may be the perfect time to explain them.
I can't think of a better time.
You've been given the perfect opportunity to explain drag queens to your children.
You will never again have questions about drag queens if you're able to explain them at the Thanksgiving Day parade. So, problem solved. But there were like all these crazy posts on Facebook about like, you know, like, thanks, Macy's. You've completely removed the family part of Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Like, do drag queens not have families?
No.
Is there something anti-family about a drag queen?
They have drag families. They have drag mothers.
Yeah. They have drag mothers and real mothers. They have more family than your average person.
Yep.
That's all that you need. So anyway, that was a big controversy that was stupid.
Yep.
A controversy that was not stupid, but is just sort of tragic,
ugh,
is the fact that every year on Black Friday, someone dies. In like a stampede or like a shooting.
Yeah.
This website came out this Thanksgiving called BlackFridayDeathCount.com that basically
counts
all of the deaths and injuries that have accumulated over the last few years in the madness that has become Black Friday.
7 deaths, 90 injuries, dating back to 2006.
That's too many.
It's too many. We only had one
epidemic
this year, so maybe we're
track. But have you looked? Okay, so they describe all of the injuries on the website, looking at it with my parents. Of the 15 injuries, like 2/3 of them were from shootings.
Yeah, or stabbings.
Or stabbings.
Yeah.
Like everyone was.
It's not like somebody somebody's not just like getting punched or like.
No, it wasn't like someone broke their ankle.
Jamming their thumb, reaching for like, you know, the hot purse that's on sale or whatever. Like that's not what's happening.
These were violent injuries that were the result of weapons. It wasn't just like accidents that happened.
Yeah.
And because if you were including accidents in this number, it would be probably staggering.
Yeah.
People get crazy at Black Friday sales.
And the thing is, though, like, I have never, like, I've been to a lot of Black Friday sales. I like to go to, I'm a Black Friday shopper.
The only time I went was with Brent.
I have waited in line at a Toys R Us at 4 a.m. in Des Moines, Iowa, when it was like 12 degrees outside to buy Furbies. Okay? I have done Black Friday, and I've done it right. So... But
or
I
wrong,
have never in my life seen anything like this. So, like, I wonder. I mean, obviously, we could find out where all of these are happening. But I mean, like,
here's the answer to your question. They were all at Walmarts.
Well, they were
Walmarts.
All but I've
where
done
you
that
don't
too.
Go.
But I've done that too. I've done Kmart's. I've done Walmart's. I've done it all.
What we learned from this year's Black Friday is that if you are currently a Walmart goer on Black Friday, this would be the year to learn to stop.
Yes.
Most of these shootings took place at Walmarts.
Yeah, they did.
Walmarts is the number one location that you might get stabbed or shot on Black Friday.
Yeah. There was also
don't go to one.
There was also a link on Huffington Post on
Thursday. Sales aren't that good. Doorbusters aren't that good.
On Thanksgiving that people were were passing around that was like Walmart, they, or Black Friday at Walmart going about as well as you would expect or whatever. And it was like a link to like only the Walmart related like injuries, basically.
Which was most of them.
Most of them. Yeah.
Near all of them.
Ugh.
It was
sad though. People should stop killing each other for like doorbusters, as you said.
Yeah.
Also, Walmart had this thing going this year that like if you were in the door before a certain amount of time, they were guaranteeing like a certain number of their doorbusters. So, like, also, you didn't have to knife anybody anyway.
Well, and here's another thing that I read about today. It turns out that a lot of the, quote, sales that we're sort of experiencing on events like Black Friday and other sale days are just, like, they're not really, like, actually saving you money. It's just the products have been marked up a lot more than they used to be because people love sales
so
much.
Well, also, like, I saw an article before Black Friday because I was sort of, like, assessing the Black Friday situation, deciding what I was going to go need to get on Black Friday. And they were, like, they did some comparison where, like, 90% of the sales were, like, the exact same things that were on sale last year on Black Friday and were the exact same prices that they were on sale for last Black Friday. So it's, like, it is. It's just sort of, like, your generic sort of, like, sales, like, repackaged in a sort of, like, ridiculous sort of way to, like, get you to come and, like, spend a bunch of money, like, on one specific day.
And the stores don't lose. It's all loss leaders. So the stores make money because they don't mark down everything.
Right.
And so you go at a Target and you buy a television. And while you're there, you're like, well, God, I probably need 1,000 Pyrex containers.
Yeah, you do what you do whenever you go to Target.
Yeah, and buy everything.
Buy everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't go to Target and only buy the doorbusters. That's a crazy notion.
Nobody has that kind of restraint.
No.
But they also found there was a former CEO of JCPenney's at one point, because JCPenney's, up where my parents are now living, is the only store to buy clothing at in, like, the entire city.
That's right. I remember when you had to do that.
Yeah. I've done some serious shopping at JCPenney's. I currently have a pair of jeans that I really like that are Arizona brand jeans, and I'm not proud of it, but I'm willing to admit to it. But JCPenney's at one point decided that they were going to stop having sales, and they were just going to...
Yes, I remember that. Everything was marked up. It didn't work.
Everyone hated it. You only go to JCPenney's because you feel like you're getting a great deal because everything's on sale. Exactly. It's the same with, like, Macy's.
Yeah.
Like, Macy's tried to stop giving coupons at one point, and people were not having it.
Yeah.
Because you're a fool if you go into a Macy's and pay full price for something. I've done it, and I felt like a fool.
Yeah.
Because, like, you can get everything for 30% off.
Yeah, it's like buying anything at Bed Bath & Beyond without a 20% off coupon. Like, don't be stupid.
They're marked up 20% so that you'll use the coupon. Right. Things are literally 20% more expensive there because of the coupon. There's no way that you shop there and don't use a coupon.
No.
That you're paying too much for everything. Yeah. In any case, Black Friday sales are a scam, but everyone loves scams, apparently. So.
Yeah, it's like shopping for sport, basically.
Yeah, it basically is. Well, the one year that I went with you, I don't think that I could have survived it if someone else hadn't been driving. Mm. Because the parking lots were madness.
Yeah, where'd we go?
We went to Target, we went to Kmart, we went to Bed Bath & Beyond. Yeah, what'd
we get? I know we got Pyrex.
We got a lot of Pyrex. All of our friends currently have the same set of 1 trillion Pyrex containers because of this one Black Friday
cheap.
We went together.
It was
together.
Like $20 or something for like all Pyrex.
For like
Pyrex.
Every Pyrex container.
Yeah,
I currently have 3 casserole dishes. I've never made a casserole in my life. I don't believe
casserole.
In casserole. But I have 3 casserole dishes and 2 of them came from that Black Friday experience.
Yeah.
So that's a disaster.
Uh-huh.
And then we were looking for like a microwave or something.
I had a Black Friday microwave.
Yeah, we went all over town doing that, and then we were going to buy some like other electronic. And there were pillows involved. And towels.
My mom always needs something like totally ridiculous. Like we had to go to Kmart to get like some 16 GB flash drive or something.
It's
all right.
Yeah,
I mean,
those are literally $10 all year.
Always, all times.
There's no time they're not $10.
Yeah.
Nothing special about a Black Friday flash drive.
Nope.
Yeah. I have not gone since. I don't think I would go again unless I had...
This is the first year that I hadn't gone in a long time, because a lot of times I literally just like to go for...
The spectacle.
The fun of it. Uh-huh.
The spectacle of it all. It was interesting the one year that I went.
Yeah.
I could not figure out if I needed anything. I bought those Pyrex containers because everyone was doing it.
Yeah, they were there.
They were there. And I was
at
Target. I wasn't going to not buy them, but... No. Yeah. I don't think that I got anything else of any use.
Yeah, no, you probably didn't.
No. In any case...
Speaking of things that are of no use to anyone.
Yeah. In other news...
We had an Iran nuclear
Iran
deal. We included Black Friday shopping
before
the Iranian...
This was the actual news of last week.
Exactly.
Yes.
Right.
Over
the span of the
last...
Since our last podcast, this is the only news item, and we fucking buried it.
Basically, after... weeks and months of us being like, oh, we're going to be sort of ambivalent about Iran.
Yep.
We struck a deal with them.
Yeah.
Turns out that that was possible.
Now, the deal is suspect.
The deal is suspect. Partially because it's one of our, it's a real America special.
It's a classic American move.
Where we were like, here's a deal for 6 months while we work out another deal.
Right.
You'll recall that worked really well with the sequester.
Yeah, it's worked well on a lot of years. It's gonna, in a couple weeks, we're gonna get to the budget committee findings on December 15th. They're not gonna have anything to show for it. This is, when we push things aside, we never come up with a better thing to do.
We move the ball. It's forever. Right. There's not like an end point in time.
Yeah, so basically we're stopping, supposedly Iran is going to stop enrichment for 6 months, which Lila and I immediately were like, well, that's not going to happen.
Right.
And then we're going to like lift some sort of sanctions, and then in 6 months we're going to sort of like reconvene, at which point they'll probably have bombed everyone.
But here's where that's not even right. They have agreed to close their facilities and halt the installation of new like technologies for the creation of nuclear power or weapons or whatever. They have agreed to stop working on this heavy water reactor that they were going to create that was going to help them make plutonium or whatever.
Yep.
And have increased oversight. They've accepted increased oversight. They have not agreed that the language in the agreement actually requires them to stop enriching.
Yeah, they can't
uranium.
Even agree on the agreement.
And John Kerry doesn't agree with their reading of the agreement. So while Hassan Rouhani said that the deal recognizes their right to maintain an enrichment program specifically, John Kerry says that the agreement requires mutual agreement on that, which they don't agree to. So frankly, the agreement is not as much an agreement as it is words on paper that don't mean anything.
Right. So what the agreement is that Iran can continue doing anything that they like and we'll lift some sanctions.
Right. Yes, exactly. Or not. It's not clear. We don't know.
Yeah.
In any case.
But that was huge news.
That was huge news. The next step, I think, is to create an agreement on what the wording in the agreement means.
Couldn't they
just... And then we'll have an actual agreement.
Couldn't they just have that wording in the agreement? Like, do they...
Well,
do
you
they
would
need
hope
an,
that that would be what their plan was.
Do they need an additional agreement?
But I think they might need an additional agreement because...
That sounds like they
here's
do.
Here's one thing that I will say about this. As someone who was in a place where I didn't really speak the language... You don't always know what you're agreeing to in another language.
You
know?
Does that happen?
Like, well, I mean, that didn't happen to me specifically in a lot of circumstances. But there were times at ice cream parlors that I didn't know I was agreeing to flavors that I had picked out. I mean, there were things that were happening that I didn't necessarily fully agree to.
Sure.
But that were happening without me because I was trying to pretend that I spoke Spanish. I'm learning it next week, so it's okay.
Oh, that's right.
Spanish
ice cream flavors.
Every day after
nuclear
we
enrichment
would get back
programs.
To the apartment we were renting, I would turn to my parents and be like, tomorrow let's learn Spanish. So, in any case, I will say that creating an agreement with Iran, where they speak Farsi or whatever, which is not English, maybe we don't read the agreement in the same way because none of us speak the same language.
Right. I just think that, like, at least to me, we're sort of, like, mocking this agreement because it sounds sort of like it's ridiculous, but, like, I feel like... There's been a lot of outcry, like, against this, like, from Israel and from also, like, conservatives and stuff like that. But, like, on the one hand, it's like, you do this.
Yeah.
Or
you do nothing.
Or you do nothing, and then you get to the point where they have a bomb, and then you
feel
sort
sad
of,
for yourself.
You feel sad,
die.
And then they've bombed Israel, and then we're in World War III all of a sudden, like, in the Middle East. So it's like, is this perfect? Maybe not. But, like, it's something that isn't, you know, nuclear war in the Middle East.
No.
Like,
For all that, you know, I mean, I am mostly mocking this because it's the America special of pushing everything off.
Yeah, of course, right.
And that's something that we know doesn't really work.
Right.
However,
but it's
am
not...
I in favor of continued diplomacy, even if in 6 months we have to keep, you know, we have to do it again with this new regime in Iran that has signaled that they're maybe willing to work with us?
Right.
That's obviously the best option.
Yeah, it's not nothing.
Yeah. And I don't feel like in this circumstance we have the sort of luxury of, like, playing sort of fast and loose with our diplomacy. Like, we were talking about an issue that, like, would have massive consequences if it unraveled. We can't just play hardball with them and be like, oh, okay, we're just too cool for you. Israel is more important, you know, Israel is more important than the safety of the entire world.
Right.
Like, anything that protects the safety of the entire world protects the safety of Israel.
Yeah, exactly.
So we need to be reasonable
in a
way that they're not going to be.
Yeah, well, and Netanyahu was, like, super pissed about this and apparently, like, called Obama and things. Just sort of like, what would you have us do?
No, exactly. Like, this is a deal that is ostensibly going to get them to slow down their building of the bomb.
Right.
That is a good thing because then they won't have one.
Yeah.
Like, currently, like, as things are going, things aren't going to be better if we don't do anything.
Well, right. Well, there, I think, are a lot of people who sort of, like, you know, we're seeing in their opposition to this that their preference would be to just bomb them.
Yeah. And obviously, first of all, it's like, don't poke the bear. Like,
yeah.
If you have a country that is actively pursuing uranium enrichment because they want to build the bomb,
right?
Like, don't solve it by, like, making them want
engaging
to do that
them.
More.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Like, solve it by being like, let's all agree not to bomb each other.
Yeah.
We'll lift some sanctions because we understand that there are people who hope to eat in your nation.
Yes.
And in doing that, we hope that you will stop considering trying to bomb us.
Yeah.
That's, seems I think, simple. A nice agreement. Yeah.
Exactly.
I think that's nice.
Yeah.
Speaking of nuclear safety.
Or non-safety.
Or non-safety. You may have already suspected that just having nuclear weapons is a dangerous thing.
Right.
But what you may not have known is that in the 60s, our passcode for launching them was just like 6 zeros or 8 zeros.
It was 8 zeros.
It's like the combination you use on your luggage lock.
Right.
Because you can't remember numbers.
Right. From 1962 to 1977. Apparently, it was chosen by the Strategic Air Command in an effort to make the weapons as quick and as easy to launch as possible. Like, so
why
they didn't
have a
want
code at that point?
Right. They were afraid that basically what would happen is, like, if we went into nuclear war, then, like, the channels to be able to get the code to, like, unlock the weapons, like, to be able to
right.
use
we'll
them
get all
would go down,
right.
basically. So they just all knew, and it was, like, written down. It was, like, on pieces of paper, like,
right.
like
here's,
you know,
the code to launch here, all the nuclear weapons.
Here's this bomb, and then there's, like, a post-it note on it with, like, 8 zeros. It's, like, it's not
first
the way
of
you
all,
want to do it.
Here's some thoughts that I have. A, I mean, why have the passcode at that point? That's crazy.
Right.
Second of all, though, you make it 8 zeros so that you don't have to write it down.
I know. Everybody can keep
like
that in their head.
That's like making the numbers 1 through 8.
I've memorized it already.
I already know it. Yeah. Like, you don't need to write it down anywhere once you have a simple code like that. If it was just all sevens, that would be both more secure and as simple to remember.
I know.
Like, that's just my... I mean, in those days, though, people weren't having to use passwords for as
right,
many
that's
things.
True.
So it wasn't
I
like
have
everyone...
12 passwords, and I know what
currently
all of them
I
are
have
for
to keep
doing.
A million in my head. If I forget, you know, like, I have all these memberships on, like, every dumb thing. Like, I joined Snapchat today.
Oh, God,
so I don't
I
really
know.
Fully understand what it is.
Yeah, but we Snapchatted
each Snapchatted each other.
Yeah.
And I obviously, like, have to remember the password for that, and if I forget it, I have about 12 others that I try, because I just have, like, a million passwords floating around at any given time. Mm-hmm. In those days, you didn't need a computer password for anything.
No.
You could just have no passwords.
Right. Yeah, people weren't used to keeping passwords.
So that might have been a novel idea to everyone. They were like, what if we just did 8 zeros?
Right.
Would anyone think of that?
Well,
it's deceptively simple.
It worked.
It worked. No nuclear bombs got launched.
No,
under
accidentally.
That. Accidentally.
Nope.
But that's a fucking surprise.
It's a real surprise.
It seems like if you accidentally leaned on your keyboard, you might want nuclear weapons.
Totally.
In any case.
Oh, boy.
In exciting news that
is super
more
exciting.
Hopeful than our nuclear weapons program.
Yeah. Lyle and I love a good labor strike.
We love a labor strike,
right.
And we're about to get one.
A big one, apparently, because we're going to have, like, a big fast food. It's not going to affect you. You're gonna go about your
I'm
day.
I'm going to go about my days if nothing's happening, but I'm going
right.
to be excited
I might
about
not
how
be
many people it is affecting.
I might not be able to get chicken McNuggets that day, but...
You'll be healthier for it.
Yeah, exactly.
This will actually both improve the health of all Americans
everyone.
And
yeah.
labor.
Yeah, but they're going to be doing this in 100 cities. Like, in August, they did, like, a few different cities, and
right.
basically... So it's, you know, it's to put pressure on McDonald's, Wendy's, and other fast food restaurants, and what they're demanding is a $15 an hour minimum wage for fast food workers. But they've also got, like, a lot of unions sort of working with them on this, and also, like, one of the things that they're fighting for is to be able to unionize as fast food workers, because they're not currently.
And that's one of SEIU's big... SEIU is one of the few remaining effective unions, I feel like, out there. They're in New York, their local 1199 is sort of, like, always the union that you, like, if you're, like, doing some sort of organizing thing, they'll give you the space in their union hall, and
nice.
They, like, you're always having to have 1199 help you with something.
Yeah.
But this is, I think, very exciting, because this is one of the few outposts of private industry that is getting this kind of pressure, which is exciting, because we are used to public sector unions being around, because the public sector is still heavily unionized in a way that the private sector no longer is.
Yeah.
We have a few sort of dying industries that are still unionized. You know, auto workers are unionized, but that industry is breaking apart, you know, all the time and sort of, like, decentralizing itself in ways that the UAW can't necessarily protect it from. And Hollywood is heavily unionized because of the sort of transient nature of the work.
Yeah.
But there's not a lot of other private sector areas that are unionized aside from hotel workers.
Right, and this is a huge...
This is a huge market. This is
group of people,
a group of people that need representation because they're so exploited.
Yeah.
And so this is exciting to see something in 100 cities.
Yeah, and it's a big deal. It's this Thursday, I think, right?
So it's gonna be, it's Thursday.
Yeah, it should be a big deal, which is great.
So if you see workers, I mean, if you see people striking for fast food workers or that are fast food workers striking, honk.
Yeah.
You got to honk.
That's what you do.
Got to, if you're walking, wave or something, or give them a little fist pump or something.
You did some good with the writer strike.
Oh yeah, I did some picketing.
Really good striking. Some picketing.
I love a good picket line.
I know you do.
I mean, I can't cross picket lines. It becomes problematic if someone stupid is picketing.
Yeah.
There's a lot of fake picket lines going on out there that are trying to get you to stop shopping at places. Like sometimes in New York, the union rat, which is like this big inflatable rat that they have instead of people striking these days. Like, they just, like, will inflate it somewhere randomly on a street corner, and you won't even be sure what business they're picketing. And you'll be like, am I... Like, at one point, the union rat was just sitting outside of a union headquarters, and I was like, am I allowed to go into... Are you boycotting the union, or this belonged? Are you about to take this somewhere? I couldn't really tell what was going on. Like, because my... One of the major union headquarters is around the corner from where I grew up. But so, it can get confusing, the picket line situation, but being on a picket line, super fun. It's just like hours during which you get to chat with everybody.
Yeah, you made a lot of friends.
I made a lot of friends. Mm-hmm. It's fun to just sit around and talk to random people and have no other agenda other than to chat with them.
I like that.
But also, you could probably support this strike on Twitter or other social media mediums to let people know about it. And, you know, that's a great way to get involved in any... And even if you're sort of in a random place where there's no strike going.
Yeah. So. But this is, you know, this is one of the largest groups of sort of like, you know, the working poor, basically, is, you know, fast food industry workers. And so, I mean, it's really, it's the important. It's very important.
It's the same reason that hotel maids are often, you know, targets of unions.
Yeah.
It's a group of people that have a difficult time advocating for themselves because of the power dynamics in the industry.
Right.
And because of the ways, you know, the sort of the norms in that industry prevent people who are kind of like qualified to lead this sort of movement from taking those jobs in the first place.
Yeah.
And this is exciting times.
Yeah, for sure. And a lot of this has sort of like, you know, led to, especially with, I feel like there were a lot of stories last Thanksgiving too, because places were open on Thanksgiving for like the first time they were doing Black Friday.
And that was still a thing this year. There were a lot of articles about that.
Of articles about that, like restaurants staying open. Like I think somebody like got fired from Pizza Hut because he wasn't requiring his, there was like that whole story that was
online.
And there was like also like,
someone had basically had to quit because they told him that he wouldn't have a job there if he didn't work Thanksgiving, but they couldn't actually fire him.
Right. But like there were some Walmart employees, I think, who were striking too, or like, but basically like all of these things have sort of really been making people talk about the minimum wage more recently than really in the past. And Obama has sort of even commented on it recently. And there were some ballot propositions back in the election in the first part of November that we didn't really talk about. We figured that now was sort of like a good idea.
Well, they were in small, you know, they were very localized.
Right,
so
exactly.
It wasn't something that we would have necessarily picked up on.
Right.
But,
well, it was New Jersey.
But
state of
New Jersey,
Jersey
raised
so
their minimum wage to, you know, $10.25.
To $10, which is what
I mean, to $10.
Right, which is what...
$10. Yeah, it was
$10. Yeah, it was $10, which is supposedly what it would be from, if you, like, include inflation, like, from when it was set, what it was, like, the last time that it was set, basically. So, and then they've also are tying
CTAC makes them look like...
Right, exactly. And New Jersey also is tying
it
to inflation. So
inflation,
it will continue to go up. And a lot of states have done that, actually.
Yeah.
But, CTAC, which is, like, outside of Seattle, which is the name of a city, apparently.
It's also the name of the airport. It's the airport city. It's where all the airport workers work. Raise their minimum wage to
$15
an hour.
$15 an hour. And
go
like,
them.
I know, go them. Some of the airports are kind of... The airlines are kind of freaking out because, like, they have a lot of employees who, like, work... You know,
CTAC,
at the airport.
At the airport there.
The
but that's
the city
that's a genius
and the airport
move for a single industry town to do.
Yeah, right?
Because if the town does it, then...
That's it. Everybody there is making at least
$15 an hour.
Everyone
there is suddenly making a living wage.
Yeah.
It's a miracle.
Yeah. You know what? I bet that's going to be a happy place to live, by the way.
It'll be like Spokane or whatever, one of the happiest cities in America.
Right. Yeah.
That city must be so boring. It's on every list of the happy cities in America, but you never hear about it being on a list of anything else.
No.
It's not like the most fun cities in America. Like, the most, you know, diverse cities in America. None of the things that would be fun about living in a city are fun about Spokane. It's like a bunch of blonde people who are all middle class who live in, like, the worst part of Washington together.
Yeah, it's true. It sounds terrible.
You probably can't get Chinese food there.
Chinese food, I bet you can get.
Maybe.
You probably can't get, like, Thai food or sushi or anything like that.
I guess Chinese Seattle food has a pretty extensive You can get really good dim sum in Seattle.
Mm.
There's a district of good dim sum locations.
I believe that.
In any case, Obama has also talked about raising the minimum wage. Yeah, recently.
It's been sort of like in the news lately, which is great because it needs raised, obviously. The federal minimum wage is like, what, $7.15 or something? It's bonkers.
It's shockingly low.
I mean, you can't.
And that's up from when it was. Wasn't it like $5.15 a few
maybe,
years
ago?
It was like something crazy a few years ago.
I think Bush even raised it at one point.
It
like,
was
that's
so
when you know.
Low that Bush raised it. Yeah. It was under Bush.
And it's still too low, but I mean.
The base was something absolutely insane.
Yeah.
Like $5 or $6 or $6
so
or $7.
I'm glad we're talking about it.
Yeah. It's exciting times.
Yeah.
That's what, I mean, this is, I think, actually an issue that could ultimately sort of change the, you know, economic disparity in the country more than really anything else. It's like, it's one of those base issues. It's like campaign finance reform. If you took every other sort of like minor side issue that we're always talking about out of the game, the one issue that you would be left with that could change the way that politics exists in America would be campaign finance reform.
Yep.
If we changed the way elections were financed, if they were financed publicly, we would have an entirely different balance of power.
Well, and I also
and
think
this
that
is like one of those types of issues.
And I think that like I think it makes very, very good sense politically for Democrats to run on this too. Like just because you know, something like I didn't pull these stats, but when I was reading the story about the minimum wage, something like 80% of people agree that it should be raised to where it should be sort of like per inflation. Every time that it gets put on a ballot initiative, it passes. Like 60% of Republicans agree that you should be able to live off of minimum wage. Like it's a total winner.
Yeah.
And if I think it's now is a good time to be talking about it just because of sort of like the, you know, disparity in the rich and the poor. It's an election winner.
It's an election winner. It's an issue that the opposition to it exists in this like sort of out of reality echelon because small business people don't pay people $5 an hour or whatever.
Exactly.
Like small businesses generally have to give a living wage to their
employees. Right, exactly. And
some extent.
It exists amongst the super rich, which is what makes it so disingenuous basically because it's rich CEOs of Walmart who say that they
Papa
can't
John's
afford to pay.
Whatever,
it's
like,
well, go fuck yourselves.
First of all, you can. They've done studies and you can.
Yeah, exactly.
Turns out, good news.
Yeah, right.
But second of all, go dine a well.
Yeah.
As I like to say.
That's it. Yeah.
I've even stopped asking people to fall in wells. I just...
Just die
in them.
Yeah.
Just do whatever you need to do to die in the well.
Don't come out of that well.
Don't come out of the well. Get in there and stay.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, there are a bunch of immigration activists that are fasting at the Capitol
in
D.C. And Obama went and visited them on Friday.
Yeah.
Which is... They've been getting, actually, a surprising amount of love from the administration.
Yeah, they have. Like, a lot of people have gone. Like, Biden has gone. Tom Vilsack has gone. A lot of people have gone.
Valerie Jarrett. Who we've learned is a controversial...
Hated.
She's,
like, the most hated person in the administration, apparently. Yeah. We learned that in Double Down.
Yeah.
You know what I just learned recently, which is doesn't have anything to do with this,
but share it, please.
So I've been still reading that. Remember, I think I promised like a month ago that I would be done with it by
the
week's end, and I'm only like 2/3 of the
way through. I finished it a day a month ago and have not gotten any farther than I was the last time.
Yeah, and you were just on a plane for like 30 hours.
I know.
Yeah. But, so, again, nothing to do with anything. Oh, that was my wine glass. How many glasses of wine?
That's
so what?
Fine. So what?
Was that, so do you remember when... So when Obama first started going after Romney over the whole like Bain situation, and Cory Booker went on Meet the Press and like went and was like, "This makes me want to vomit because private, you know, whatever industry or you know is good for the country or whatever."
Yeah.
Apparently, like the Obamas did basically everything, but put a hit out on Cory Booker.
Really?
Yes.
Fascinating.
Yeah. Like the administration still basically does not like Cory Booker. They were pissed.
Oh.
They didn't think his initial apology for it, where he walked back the statement, was good enough. They thought that he was, like, playing the White House, like, to, like, propel his own career forward.
Ooh.
They were, like, pissed.
We were a little pissed when he said
that, pissed.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was one of the times we were pissed at Cory Booker.
Private equity. That's what he was.
Yeah,
I'm
private
sorry,
equity.
I said private industry. That's wrong. Private equity.
Private equity.
Yeah.
Which is, by the way, not as important as private industry.
No.
The economy needs private industry.
It does.
It doesn't need private equity.
Nope.
That's a fake thing.
Yeah. Anyway.
So, in any case, that is interesting.
Yeah.
And that is something that I assume that we'll be discussing once we both finish Double Down, which neither of us have done.
We will. And then we can have a real book report.
Here's what I guarantee. Is by the end of the holidays, when I go home and am on, like, the kind of vacation where I just hang out at my parents' house.
Yeah.
I will have read every book that I promised I would read over this vacation.
Okay, great. Good.
So, that's good news.
Right. So, anyway, these... activists, they've been fasting for something like 20 days or something right now, I think.
Yeah.
By now. But anyway, so they're trying to get, obviously, the House Republicans. That's who right. their main focus is, because, like, the Senate already passed a bill. And the House Republicans basically, in response, have said, well, it's not dead, but we just sort of, like, don't know when we're going to do it. But, you know, we might get it done before the end of the year.
But they won't.
But they won't, because our next story is about
the end
House.
Of the year is here.
The end of it. They're only working 8 more days.
Yeah.
And if you...
Jealous, by the way.
I know, jealous. Well, I want the... I'm
working at least 15 more days.
I'm more jealous about the amount of total days that they've worked this
year. Right?
Like, what was it? 139 days that they've worked? Yeah. Or no.
No, it was less.
No, less than that. They had 239 days off.
Yeah.
This year. Two-thirds of the year they had
they
off.
They met for 126 days.
That's insane.
Hello?
And aren't they working for less next year or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, 113.
Like, what?
What? Yeah. What?
So immigration reform, definitely not getting done
definitely
in the next 8
dead.
Working days.
It might be dead. For, I mean, they don't... What do they have time for with this many days working?
No.
Nothing. They have time just to pass continuing budget resolutions,
right.
basically, and then to close the government for extended periods of time.
Yeah.
The government is effectively closed for extended periods of time when you're barely working anyway.
I know.
Why bother closing the government? You're basically on vacation all the time.
Was the government, like, secretly closed already when we had the government shut down?
Yes, obviously. Here's another thought that I'm having. Because one thing that I did not know until recently was that most state legislators are only considered part-time employees of the
right.
state. And so they are able
yes.
to go and take full-time jobs that provide major conflicts of interest when they then
sure.
go to represent their constituents at the state house.
Yeah.
It seems like Congress, which we're paying full-time salaries to, are also only half working. So
yeah.
could we not just be paying them part-time salaries?
And, seems like.
I mean, they're already in bed with all the people. Like, they're already a walking conflict of interest.
I was going to say, they could just go work for some, like, you know, work on K Street or whatever.
And
just
if they want to go work on K Street, they could let their employers there provide health care for them. And then they would know what it's like on the open market.
Exactly.
Where yeah. even good jobs don't give you health insurance.
Mm-hmm.
So, in any case, thoughts. Thoughts about what Congress is up to. Not much.
And not doing
I want
anything.
Them to pass a bill requiring them
to work more
than one-third of the year.
Me too.
I've had to work for two-thirds of the year.
Yeah.
For significantly less money.
Yeah. Hello.
So, and I have ideas. I'm just saying.
Yep.
I've been doing a lot more work than they have on their own job, it sounds like.
Yeah, I think you have. Oh, maybe you hadn't heard, but racism is over.
Yay!
Hooray!
We did it.
Yes.
Finally.
Apparently Rosa Parks did it.
Yeah,
a long time ago.
We didn't know.
I didn't realize that we had been without racism for so long.
No.
But apparently the RNC knew.
Yeah.
Because their official Twitter account declared it over.
Yep.
Thank God.
They remembered Rosa Parks' bold stand and her role in ending racism.
Yep.
Just ended as we know it.
Now, if you think that they maybe caught some flack for that,
you'd
they
right.
did. The Twitter sphere had a real field day with that.
Yeah, there was the racism ended when hashtag.
Uh-huh. Which people were sort of just then... It was hilarious. Like,
the
they
greatest.
Were inserting when racism moved. For example, when the Jeffersons moved on up was one that was a,
yeah.
you know,
the
a good
Twitter
one.
The Twitter sphere is
but,
clever.
Yeah,
they love
are.
Fun.
It's true. Yeah. And so they finally clarified what it was supposed to say
yeah.
today. Where they said, today we remember Rosa Parks' bold statement and her role in fighting to end racism.
Yeah.
Not officially ending it.
No, just fighting. Fighting to do that.
Yeah.
And failing.
Right.
Because we have not ended
right.
racism.
At a certain point, they probably realized, well, we're still racist.
Right.
So it's not totally it's not done.
It's not totally over.
If we're still racist.
Right. It seems like we could have just searched as far as ourselves to know the answer to this question. That's a bunch of 5-year-olds might not have been able to do that.
No.
But the GOP certainly could have.
Yeah.
Because if anyone could find a racist, it would be them. Meanwhile, in New York news, there was a deadly train crash on Metro
yeah.
North, the very train I used to take to college all the time.
Yeah, crazy. Just this week. Yeah,
so
just yesterday, right?
Yeah, it was, I think,
and
yesterday.
And we found out this evening that it was, like, going 50 miles an hour over
yeah,
the
it was
limit,
going
like, around
miles
the
an
turn,
hour.
Basically. It was
there
supposed
is,
to be going 30.
There is this part of the train track, basically, right when the train sort of heads north from the Bronx, that, like, into Riverdale. Where there's this very sharp turn. I know exactly... Like, once I heard that there was a crash on a turn, I was like, well, there's only one major turn. So,
yeah.
I know which turn it is.
Oof.
but that is a wild turn to be going that fast on, I'll tell
Oof.
You. I've thought I was going too fast on that turn before, and I certainly was not going that fast.
Right. Oh, God. It's terrible.
It is the first fatal Metro North train incident ever.
Oh, that's good.
And the train...
I mean
it's been... It's like
good,
an 100-year-old
I mean,
train line or something.
Right.
I mean,
okay, good.
Train crashes... frustrate me because I love trains so much. I'm like a small boy when it comes to trains. I love riding trains. I love watching trains. I love everything involving trains. I don't know why. Train crash, you know, train lines are not maintained the way that they should be a lot of the time in the States because it's sort of a dying form of transportation.
Yeah.
And so train crashes happen more than they probably should.
Sure.
More than they do in places like Europe where they ride trains just all over the place constantly. But in any case, Metro-North, for the terribleness that was this story, has a relatively good safety record overall.
And so, tell me the name of the stop that it came from.
So there's two ways to pronounce it. One of it's a Dutch name.
Okay.
And it is usually called Spuitendijvel because although there is a sector of people in New York that call it Spuitendijvel.
which say is correct.
I think is the correct. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's the correct way to say it.
Okay.
If you look at the spelling,
Both ways, crazy ways to say it.
If you were a Dutch person, P.S., which way would you say it? You wouldn't say Spuitendijvel.
No, you say Spuitendijvel.
You say Spuitendijvel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or Duyvel.
You'd pick the craziest way.
You'd pick the craziest way, because you're Dutch. That's how Dutch people sound. So, as someone who went to a high school called Stuyvesant, I know enough about Dutch names, I guess, to, you know.
Yeah, sure.
There's a lot of Dutch names in New York. It's a thing. I actually feel pretty proud about our Dutch heritage. A lot of the time I'm thinking about how proud I am of our Dutch heritage, because it's one of the few... It's one of a few select regions in the States that has a heritage beyond simply British colonies.
Yeah.
It's like us and like Louisiana and then like the entire West used to be Mexico.
Right.
But we're the only of the 13 colonies that had a separate colonizer.
Right.
So that's exciting, I think.
Yeah.
And it leaves us with fun names like Spuitendijvel.
Spuitendijvel. Yeah. Oh boy, CNN. Continuing to do all the wrong things.
Right, while they were reporting on this story.
Yes, exactly. Andrew Cuomo, of course, is who you would probably have
talk
on
to about
because he's the
like
governor,
this.
So he's, you know,
the kind of guy you interview about a fatal train crash in the state.
CNN made the choice to have his brother,
Chris Cuomo,
interview him
on
the morning news this morning.
Which is a thing that journalists are not, they're supposed to know not to do that.
You don't do that.
You don't, I mean, if you're interviewing your brother on what it's like to be your brother, maybe, like
that's
if it's a human interest story about how your brother is, go for it. By all means. If it's a news story about an incident that's occurred in your state that was
fatal, what you do.
That's the thing you don't do.
He sort of like...
You send literally anybody else.
He caught a lot of flack for it and apparently like, you know, claimed that because it was like a non-political issue that it was okay, which I guess can sort of get
Did
to a degree.
Did they know it was a non-political issue at the time? Could it not have been tied to funding or
one of the other things
that a publicly funded train would necessarily involve?
I don't know. Probably not.
I mean... The MTA, I guess, is sort of like its own entity.
I don't know.
I feel like we know that this... We know the answer to that question.
But anyway, CNN.
CNN, doing
continuing
the wrong
to make
thing.
Continuing
to
choices.
Not really report the news.
Yeah.
P.S. Just... Yeah. That's when you know. It's when you're starting to do things that no journalist in their right mind would do.
Yep.
You know you've just given up.
Yep. Now comes the... sort of non-political pop culture section of our podcast.
We've already run out of political news.
Yeah, we're reaching.
But fortunately, a lot of people came out of the closet in the last week, so we have something to talk about.
Yeah. Maria Bello, which is like, she has a child with a man.
Yeah.
So that's curious.
That's a thing that's happening now. Cynthia Nixon had children with men.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. She was just walking around dating women after that, or one woman.
Yeah.
A woman.
Who's a little mannish.
A little mannish. So,
I say that. With love, I guess. I don't know. With something.
I say it with love because they're
As a gay person, that's a mean thing to say. But that's because I'm gay, I feel like I can do so.
I say it with love because they're both big public school advocates in New York City. And Cynthia Nixon sends her kids to public school, which I'm all in favor of.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, me too.
I mean, obviously.
Yeah.
We're both in favor of that. I'm especially in favor because I went to the New York City public schools.
Right. And I went to public schools.
Right.
Our parents taught in public schools.
Our parents
taught.
We're big public school advocates, as you might have heard from our podcast in the past.
Uh-huh.
In any case, so that happened.
Yep.
And that's all that we
can
say about
it. That's the story.
That's the whole story. Mm-hmm. Maria Bello, now with a woman, once with a man.
Yep. Tom Daley, once with women,
once with
now
women,
with men.
Now with men. That's
He's the
British
diver. This was big news on my Facebook feed today, as you may guess.
Yes.
More so than the Maria Bello story. Because people have been in love with Tom Daley before it was sort of like, you know, appropriate in like an age situation to be in love with Tom Daley. Like that's, you know, he's...
Yeah.
19, I think, now, basically. But his sexuality has sort of been questioned for a long time just because he's a cute, short diver.
Right.
Like, for no other reason. That's it. That's all.
That's often in creative sports.
Right.
That's often all it takes.
But we were right.
Yeah, there it is.
The speculation was all correct. Although he didn't say that he was gay, and he didn't say that he was bisexual. He's just in a relationship with a man, and he also said that he still fancies girls.
I would guess, considering his age, that that's just the thing
that's what
that
you
he
do.
Thought to say.
All teenage boys, when they come out of the closet, are bisexual.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to convince it's their easier... family that they're going to marry a woman and have
exactly.
babies. Yeah.
Like, if you are 32 and that's how you come out, then maybe you do. If you're 19 and that's how you come out, I
no,
feel
yeah.
like most signs point still, to the fact that you might
just you still
be gay.
Fancy girls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Because mm-hmm.
you're 19. You don't know.
Yeah.
You could be doing anything at 19.
Yeah.
And then people died, too.
Oh, God. This is sad. Paul Walker died.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you're thinking that the Fast and Furious...
Right.
Well, it'll continue without him.
It'll continue without
so him. So don't yeah. worry about
he
that
He was not
all.
In one of them already.
Yeah.
Anyway. But he died in a car accident.
Yeah,
in a, which
irony.
Is sort of... But apparently...
he wasn't driving.
He was not driving. No. But, like, the guy who owns or co-owns his racing team with him or something was, and they were in a Porsche
yeah.
and, like, ran into a pole. So, like, they're sort of... I don't
they're
think they know exactly what happened.
Saying that there might
happened,
have been a second car involved. And
I
might have been
saw
racing.
That as well. But I also saw the police say that there, like, wasn't sort of, like, signs of that, supposedly. Like,
but the car is, like, really mangled.
Oh, it's really mangled, yeah.
It's
I mean, it was obviously...
a normal car
It was
crash.
Obviously speeding, like,
yeah.
in an inappropriate
in a
way.
Crazy.
And, like, he has sort of, like, been quoted, like, in doing press for, like, the Fast and the Furious movies of, like, talking about, like, he was once said that, like, he'd driven up to 185 miles an hour, like, on the freeway or something like that. So, like,
yeah.
he obviously liked speed.
Going fast.
That was his thing. Like, that, obviously, you
And they were
don't
coming
want...
back from a fundraiser in Valencia, which is a place that you might try to get out of as fast as you could. Anyway.
Terrible.
But the driver was also killed.
But it's sad. I mean, he has, you know, he was only 40. He has a child,
yeah.
you know, and, but it was sort of annoying. I, whenever, living in Los Angeles, whenever a celebrity dies like this, you get sort of like a really dumb Facebook post where
oh,
like,
God.
I met him outside
yeah.
of Go Burger while we were waiting to go into a movie at the Arclight, and he was really nice, and I
yeah.
told him that I liked his shoes, and it's like, you did not fucking know Paul
right.
Walker.
I don't need this story.
This is not a real story about Paul Walker's
no.
death. Like,
no.
I hate it when people do that. People
yeah.
always do that, like, whenever, like, any sort of, like, celebrity news
yeah.
is going on.
Yeah, the one time Ugh. That they had some lame interaction with... Not a thing.
Yeah.
Don't dispense with your personal Paul Walker story.
Exactly.
Unless you are related to Paul Walker.
Yeah.
Or knew him
yeah,
personally.
Yeah, exactly. Ugh. Anyway.
In any case, while I was in Argentina, there was a major celebrity death there. Of a person that you would not have heard of.
Nope.
Because you're not in Argentina, where this guy is famous. But this was a fascinating story. So the guy's name was Ricardo Ford. He's notable, I think you'll find this interesting. He's notable in part because he's one of the few openly gay Latin American celebrities.
Okay, great.
So, that's a thing. He maintained that he wasn't gay for a long time while hosting a reality show in which he had young strapping men, like, live in a house with him shirtless and then compete with song and dance routines for his attention.
When do we start this show in America, by the way?
Hopefully we can look this show up. There are lots of clips of him online. It's hilarious.
Okay.
I know
What's
this,
the name of the show? Do we know?
Something in Spanish.
Okay.
He was on. He participated in a number of reality shows in Argentina. Interesting history. He is the heir to a chocolate fortune.
Oh, my.
His grandfather started the biggest candy company in
oh,
Argentina
that's
years
exciting.
Ago, and his father inherited it. So he was, like, the heir to this fortune.
I like that.
He had been living in Miami, I think, because he just sort of was, like, too weird to be living in Argentina. They were sort of like, go live in Miami and stop bothering us. So he was kind of like a vague socialite, but, like, no one really wanted to... He had a really, really dumb facial hair situation.
Oh,
and
no.
a lot of plastic surgery.
Oh, no.
Like, a ton. Like, a creepin'.
How old was he?
45.
Oh, wow.
He was young.
Yeah. What did he die of?
Well, that's an interesting story as well.
Okay.
He died of cardiac arrest.
Oh.
While he was in the hospital for a broken femur. So, some things are suspected. I don't
well,
know what those things are, necessarily.
I was going to say, like, what?
But you don't usually die of a heart attack while you have a broken femur.
No.
I think it possibly was related to the amount of plastic surgery he had had.
Really? Was it drugs?
Well, it's not... He officially died of cardiac arrest after a severe bout of gastrointestinal bleeding. But when you're in the hospital, like, obviously
I'm formulating a story here
he,
that is too disgusting to share on this
exactly.
podcast.
Okay, obviously, right. he wasn't in the hospital for just a broken bone.
No.
People suspect that he wasn't. That's in Argentina, the gossip is that he was not.
I know exactly what happened, and I'm not telling you.
Exactly. no one wants to know.
Okay, great.
In any case, but he had... It's recommended that you Google him. There are numerous hilarious clips. He sort of fashioned himself like a famous singer. He loved to do really campy performances on television shows around Argentina.
I love that.
He had a bunch of reality shows himself, and they were all like, this is my life living with seven shirtless men in Miami. This is my competition show where those men compete for my affections by singing songs to me. Like, this is when I perform during the show just because I love the attention.
I would watch the show.
Yeah, of course you would. It's fascinating.
Yeah.
But he was sort of like the Kardashian of...
Sure.
You know, he's this sort of like rich socialite who right. just craves attention.
Famous because he's famous. And
famous because he's famous. Was buried in the sort of like... this very famous cemetery in Buenos Aires right. because his family's
and
old
money. And the reason that you found out about this is because you were yeah. trying to go
well,
find...
No, it's actually... I mean, I was in Argentina visiting a friend, and I went to her house for breakfast that morning, and this was playing on the television, and she was like, oh my God, Ricardo Fort died. And I was like, who the fuck is Ricardo Fort? Like, that's not a person. So she was like, how do I explain who Ricardo Fort is? Like, it took a long time to explain.
Yeah.
Then, later that day, or the next day, my parents and I are going to visit Recoleta Cemetery, which is this famous cemetery where these huge mausoleums for every right. grave.
Eva Perón is there.
Eva Perón is there in a surprisingly modest grave.
Interesting.
But it's all family vaults, basically, and it's weird because the tombstones are above ground, like built into these houses that have glass doors. So you can just, like, it's just sort of, not tombstones, the caskets.
The caskets.
So you just, like...
Oh,
like,
so their body is just, like,
wandering
right there.
Around,
I mean,
and there's
in a casket,
caskets
but, like,
everywhere.
Oh, that's weird.
And then if you look, there are ones where the grates are missing for the floor of the tomb, and you look down, and it's just, like, tons of caskets lining the walls. It's
very weird.
So that's an interesting thing that's going on. But some of these are very ornate and, like, very elaborate, and... He was being buried in one of those. So me and my parents are, like, walking around with all the tourists in the cemetery, like, taking photos of the interesting mausoleums and stuff like that. Turn a corner, and there's just, like, a ton of people. And, like, the kind of cart that you carry a casket on. And we were like, that can't be a group of tourists.
Right.
So we turn around and kind of walk away. And we keep thinking, like, where is Eva Perón's grave?
Right.
Like, it's so... We couldn't find it. We're looking everywhere. Turns out it was on the same... like, the same sort of, like, street, for lack of a better term, as this Ricardo Fort cemetery situation. And so, there were, like, tourists streaming in and taking pictures, and all of these funeral goers were it was just, like, chaos over there.
Weird.
But, in any case, that was a major celebrity death in Argentina that I can now report to you has happened.
Great.
So.
Glad to know.
So now you know that.
Yeah.
And now the world is ending anyway, because we're about to be using drones to deliver our Amazon purchases.
Right. Now, I do a lot of Amazon Prime purchases
yes.
here, so I'm not entirely against this.
Sounds convenient.
But, yeah, isn't this crazy? There was a big story on 60 Minutes the other night with Jeff Bezos, who is the CEO of Amazon, and, like, they're already testing it. It's not going to be, supposedly, they're not doing it for, like, another 4 or 5 years or something, but, like, it's bonkers.
Yeah.
Like, having drones bring things to you?
Yeah.
That's nuts.
That's... Two nuts. Also, that sounds like it could cause sky traffic, which is a concern I hadn't had until recently.
I'm not concerned about that.
I'm concerned about sky traffic.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
I'm gonna say it.
Tell me.
Well, because we live in a city with tall things everywhere.
That's true.
Imagine if you're in New York City and you're trying to be a drone, and you're walking around trying to deliver some sort of package to somebody on 31st Street.
Right.
And you're flying from some place in Queens or whatever. You might hit the Empire State Building, and then you might never get your package, A, as the receiver of the package, and B, as the drone, you might fall and kill somebody.
That's true.
It seems like tall obstacles would just be in your way at every step.
Yeah.
And what if other drones are there crashing into you?
Yeah. These are things they're going to have to work out.
Sky traffic.
All right. Got it.
It's a concern. It's like how when I was landing on this plane from when I was flying back... I looked out the window, and there was, like, another plane right next to us. And
that's
I was like,
always terrifying.
Can
I don't
we
like
both
that.
Land? This doesn't seem right.
No, I don't like that.
No, I don't like it at all. I was pretty sure we were going to die. Thankfully, we took a suspicious...
You're always concerned about that when you're on a plane, though.
Turn for the descent at that exact moment. Like, we were flying next to this plane, and suddenly we just, like, dove down. And I was like, oh, I guess we're landing first. But that was another example of sky traffic, which is something that I worry about. So, there,
yeah,
I said it.
It's a concern.
It's a concern. In any case, in final almost Hillary pillory news,
yeah.
This doesn't deserve the theme song, I don't
know.
No,
this is Hillary Clinton's week off. This
yeah.
is her Thanksgiving
we're
gift
giving you
from
a
us.
Reprieve.
Yeah.
All we're
Consider
doing
yourself lucky, lady.
Exactly. Well, all we're gonna do this week is let you know that there is a Daily Beast article that goes over some of the other options.
Right. They were calling it basically, like, what's the Democrats'
Plan B. Which I would argue could be our plan A. Our plan A could be...
It's my plan A.
It's any of these other people. Except all of them are terrible, except Elizabeth Warren. So right. It's hard to know what we're going to do.
Right. But this was sort of, like, making the rounds. Like, HuffPo had it on, yeah. And, like, a lot of other... I think Politico was, like, also picked it up, too. And so, like, people
what
were, like, posting about
to,
it.
Like,
but there were some interesting
Julian
people on
Castro
there.
Castro or whoever. All
I think
those
not
people.
Quite yet. He's still only the
well,
mayor
he's very
of
young.
San
he's the mayor of San Antonio.
I think, like, that's not
But
a
I mean,
thing
like,
yet.
Didn't we... Don't we have some great white hopes from somewhere that we're forgetting about?
Well, certainly, it's not Martin O'Malley.
Like, if you had asked me 3 years before Barack Obama ran for president, if he was running for president, I would have been like, who the fuck is that?
Right.
Like, where's our guy who we're going to be like, oh, right, that guy.
Right, exactly.
There's
I don't
gotta
know.
Be, I mean, we find those people. Those people, we cultivate right. them for a reason. Like,
we do.
Where are they?
It's not Brian Schweitzer.
No.
It's not Martin O'Malley.
No. These are all people listed in the article
right,
who are
exactly.
not it.
It could be Elizabeth Warren, but
right.
she's claiming
she's,
no. It's interesting, they didn't have a lot of people on there that, like, I feel like are getting sort of, like,
yeah.
mentioned. Like, Amy Klobuchar, people are always
right.
mentioning, and, like, she wasn't on the list. I think it was sort of, like, the people
it was the
who,
most,
like, we know are sort
like
of, like,
the
putting
Cuomo's,
the feelers out. Andrew Cuomo. Who else? Oh, Howard Dean has been sort of, like,
yeah.
floating some ideas of that might happen at some point.
Which is
a little... I mean, I was certainly on Team Dean in 2004.
Right.
But...
But it's,
it was because he was opposing. Although, he was because he was so vehemently opposing the Iraq War,
right?
When no one else was, and certainly John Kerry wasn't. And
exactly.
That's probably why John Kerry lost the election. But
definitely.
So it was cool to be supporting him now. But now I just sort of like don't get why it would be.
Well,
I
will say this for him. I think he would have to take a sort of considered move to the left on a lot of issues. Because I think that that's possible. Like, I don't think that he necessarily is as moderate as he was playing it. He was having to play to the moderate left.
Well, it's interesting.
In that election.
He was having to play to the moderate left because he, at that point, was so far the left because he
exactly.
was against the war and because
yeah.
he was in favor of
civil
unions. And also,
and like now that wouldn't be an issue. Like, if you're a Democrat
right,
now,
exactly.
you're just for gay marriage. That's not a question.
But he's
like,
also a bit of a deficit hawk.
Yeah.
Like, he was the one who was, like, sort of, like, saying that we should just, like, go ahead with the sequester because
exactly.
it's going to be the only time that we're going to be able to cut some of the, like, you know, I mean, like, he's been on
he
record sort of, like, being a
those
little.
Things. I think that there, that his time as the DNC chair could be a bright spot because
he
was the guy who created
the
50-state
strategy,
and that yeah. works for
yeah.
Democrats. I don't
yeah.
think it's a great plan for Republicans, but that, I think, is something that he could sort of, like, harness. Because, I mean, people have, like, sort of fond feelings about him because
yeah.
he helped us win a lot of seats.
Yeah, he did.
And because he's a good strategist, I think he's probably learned a lot about strategy.
Yeah.
I think he might run a smarter campaign this time.
Right. He certainly won't do the Dean scream again.
No. Thank God. But I also feel like people... He's like a boring white guy.
He
like,
just doesn't
I just
seem
am
right.
Not,
he's from Vermont.
Yeah.
Like from the, it just doesn't make sense to me anymore. I love him.
Unless
but, I mean,
you're Bernie Sanders and then you
right,
should
and
be from Vermont and absolutely run.
Right. And
he was not
has,
on this list, but...
he has said that he...
No one else is
sort
doing
of
it.
Will.
Yeah. I mean... That would be a Kucinich run. That wouldn't be a legitimate run for, like, planning to win.
But I'm
He's
okay with that.
He's 1 trillion years old.
Like,
but someone from the far left needs to fucking run.
Right, and that's why, like, Hillary may very well end up being the nominee, but, like, if she doesn't get pressed from the left in a primary, then
she won't move there.
She won't move there. And she, I think, has to win a general, to be perfectly honest, because
I
think the country has gone there, at least
yeah.
economically.
I absolutely agree.
And
she represents the old guard.
She's not there economically.
She's not there economically. Her sort of image isn't there economically. Like, there's
yeah.
just sort of, like, no way that
right.
she is able to address the sort of widening wealth gap that has captured everyone's imagination
it, yeah.
as she is, because she's part of the wealthy class, and she doesn't care.
Yeah.
in any case, so there's your Hillary pillar.
That's it.
And that's also all the news.
Yeah.
We did it.
There
so
we go. We might have forgotten something.
We definitely
I told Violet earlier today, I was like, 2 weeks. It's like some
who knows what
a
happened
major
two weeks
news
ago.
Event may have been forgotten from 2
but
weeks ago.
But if we
ago,
forgot it, you probably forgot it, too.
Yeah, so just... So. Keep forgetting
Don't
it.
Worry about it. in any case, we'll be back next week with...
Regularly scheduled
our regularly
programming.
Scheduled programming. Hopefully a news event happens next week.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. Nothing bad. Just
no.
good news.
Oh, I think we're going to have jobs numbers at the end
oh,
of the week.
Oh,
my
perfect.
Favorite time of the year. Favorite time of the month.
I always ask Brent when he... Because I never pay attention to when
you
they're
never
coming
know.
Out. I
I'm
never
always
know.
Like, jobs numbers.
So it's like, where are you getting these from?
Yeah.
Brent waits for the jobs numbers.
Yeah.
He
I know
looks
when,
for them.
I know when they're coming.
Yeah.
It's the beginning of the next month. You're going to get jobs numbers.
Yeah, I in no way pay any attention. It hits me as a surprise literally every time we talk about it. If you told me we were doing it every 3 days or every 2 years, I would agree that that's probably how often we talk about the jobs numbers, because I don't know.
Once a month.
Once a month. At some time of the month that I haven't yet identified.
The beginning.
Sure. I'll believe you. In any case, so then, you know, you'll hear us there.
Yep.
Follow us on Twitter and Instagram and all those places, because we'll be updating throughout
the week. We've redoubled our efforts this week to win Twitter.
We're going
to
win Twitter this week. Last week, we didn't, because it was a vacation.
Yeah.
I was abroad.
I had my Brent parents had in town.
Parents in town. He was hosting like a 500-person Thanksgiving.
It was hard work.
A lot was going on.
Yeah.
I did not eat turkey on Thanksgiving. We've decided to give up Thanksgiving in my family.
I know. You had beef. Well, you were in Argentina. You had to eat beef.
We ate beef. It was delicious. On Thanksgiving, we ate a piece of steak that was literally like 4 inches thick.
Nice.
And we obviously ordered it rare, because that's what we do. And we cut it into 3 pieces, one for me, you know, both my parents. And I ate the middle slice. And so I literally got to eat a piece of meat that was just raw meat from the middle. And it was the greatest moment of my life.
Gross.
It was so delicious. I have a lot of pictures of barely cooked meat to show you from my travels.
Perfect.
So
we can put those on.
We can put those on
Facebook.
On Facebook as well.
Yeah, I like
if
that.
You guys are interested. So yeah, there it is.
We'll talk to you next week.
We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.